Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. The apostle says, begins by this question. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known? There is no fear of God before their eyes. We'll end the reading there and trust that the Lord would bless His word to us. Friends, let us bow in prayer now. Heavenly Father, as we come to the preaching of Thy word, we confess to Thee of our need. We confess, Lord, that our need is to hear it, not for others, but for ourselves. Our need is, O Lord, to have a teachable heart, a heart that the Holy Spirit has been digging up, and that our heart's need is that the seed of Thy word would be planted in and for it to bear fruit. Lord, there are those here who are concerned for their soul. May that concern lead them to the foot of the cross. For those who are not concerned at all, we pray for that stirring of the heart. Lord, we confess our sins to Thee also, which are so many. Our hypocrisies, our outward and cold faith, our pride, and all the things that go on in our hearts, and Thou knowest them all together, and we pray that Thou wouldst cleanse us, that Thou wouldst forgive us. Give us such a hatred for sin, we pray. And Lord, we know that nothing will avail, nothing will help except the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we pray for the application of the gospel to every heart, and may sinners leave this place both humbled, but full of praise and thanksgiving. be made to repent, but also to rejoice in the salvation of Jesus Christ. So bless us and help us now. Receive our praise and the ministry of thy word. May it be received by us for Christ's sake. Amen. Friends, the verses that I want you to consider this morning, they're taken from Romans chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. And the Apostle Paul asks a number of questions. He says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yet let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified by thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged." The context of this passage is that there were those who were either cutting off the Jews and saying there is no hope for them, and there were many people who were asking questions, well, what is God's plan then? And what did the Jews do, and what did the Jews believe, and what was there any advantage, any profit for the Jews? And the Apostle Paul, he answers and he says, no, they have had so much blessings. They are truly a blessed people. Why is that? Essentially because they have the Word of God. Because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, he says in verse 2. They've had the Word of God, but also they have had Jesus Christ. They've had Christ being born through the nation of Israel. But then he goes on to ask this question. For what if some did not believe? The thing that I want you to consider this morning in the time that we have is the matter of unbelief and how foolish it is to have no faith, to actually not believe in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want us to think about that briefly. And then to think of how wonderful faith is. Living faith, not a dead faith. Not a kind of faith that is just in the head but it doesn't affect the heart. But we are talking about living faith that is the gift of God. There are many things in your life, in my life, that we believe and they may be wrong. There may be certain ideas that I have, they may be wrong altogether. But it's fine. It's not going to be a matter of life and death. There are things that you have heard me say or someone else say and you don't agree with and you have your own opinion about, but it's not a matter of life and death. There are things that we learn later on, it's wrong. It was wrong, it was foolish. That's part of the process of growing up and maturing up. It would be foolish for us to hold on to those things. There are things that even adults tell the children, which are not really true. Later on they find out it wasn't. Now, it doesn't mean that children then need to become arrogant and respond back to their parents and say, "Mom, Dad, you told us this, it was not true." For example, when parents say, "Oh, don't go out with nothing, you know, not much clothes on, because it's cold outside and you'll catch cold." Well, cold is not because it is cold weather. You can get become ill with cold when it's summertime. Lots of people do that. Cold is a virus. It's nothing to do with how much clothes you are wearing. We should be clothed, by the way. But then a child might learn that. Maybe they've read it in a science textbook or something like that, and they respond to the parents. "That was wrong. You told us lies." There are certain things that you will grow out of, you will see, you will recognize. They were not right beliefs. They were not right understanding of things, not right understanding of the world around you and life in general. But it is fine. It's part of human experience and learning. But there are certain things that are essential for us to have a right understanding about. The things that will affect you and me forever, for eternity. And that's what the Bible is about. That's what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is about. Because being born in this world, we don't have a right understanding. The Apostle Paul, he says that there is none that understandeth, he says. Do you think you understand? The Bible says we don't understand. In verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Truly, with a true heart. It doesn't come natural to us. Anyone who is seeking God, if you genuinely this morning are found here, and with your heart of heart, you're seeking God, and you want to know God and forgiveness of sins, it is something that God places in your heart. That's why you're seeking Him. It's because God has done this. And you can be encouraged by that. Don't be discouraged and say, I'm seeking and I'm not finding. If it is God's work, you will find Him. Be patient. Keep seeking Him. But this matter is a matter of life and death. That's why Christians are so exercised about it. They want others to know about these things. That's why sometimes you might look at someone who is a Christian and think, why are they so hot about these subjects? Why are they so strong about these things? Why do they keep talking to me about these things? It's because we see it. We were once those who were ignorant of these things and our eyes were open to these things. But what about you? Are you one who can say, well, I don't believe? What if some did not believe? And that's what the apostle is asking. What we want to think about this morning is this attitude of so many people about not believing the word of God. And they may have certain legitimate questions. And it's good to have questions. There may be some issues that you think about, and you think, well, what about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, search it out. Study it. Go to the Word of God. Pray to the Lord for help and wisdom about these things. Friends, in every age, that has been the case. People who are unbelievers. But then in every age also, there have been those who seek and they are asking questions. They're going to the Bible. And then in certain situations are forced into having a Bible and be made to read it and so on. But in every age, man has been prone to not believe the testimony of God. Isaiah speaks and says, who has believed our report? In his day, people didn't believe the message of the Lord to his prophets. But think about it. Why is that? The answer that the Bible gives is that our first parents, Adam and Eve, they fell. They fell in sin. They fell in sin by what? By questioning the restriction, the prohibition which God had given them. God had said not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the good and evil. And they began to doubt and they began to ask things but not from the Lord. That's the thing. If you have questions, it's a wonderful thing. But go to God for it. Go to His Word for it. Don't listen to critics. Don't listen to people who deny these things anyway. If you want to study something, you go to those who believe it. With an open mind, with a right understanding of these things. But they fell into that sin. And the penalty of breaking God's command was that they fell. And they fell from that relationship with God. And then their children, born in their fallen image, have very faithfully copied their bad example. And by unbelief, the world before Noah's flood were destroyed. By unbelief, the Jews rejected their own Messiah. And God dealt with them accordingly. But all of that unbelief that we see in history and all the unbelief that we see around us should not make us doubt the Bible. It shouldn't make us doubt God. God's will and His Word, it does not change. However many millions do not believe it or reject it or seek to put it to one side. It doesn't make God to to not exist. He doesn't change. His attributes, his character is that he's eternal. He doesn't change. However many atheists there may be, praise God, they change. But God does not change. You know, yesterday I met a man who used to be an atheist. But then for the past 50 years or so, he had been in Colombia, in South America. He was an old man then. He'd come over to UK with his wife. And they lived somewhere out in the jungles in Colombia. And he said, you know, there was a time I was an atheist. He was an anthropologist. He was going around various villages in Brazil, he told me. And one time he was on this boat of his with a group. He was kept back, was left behind, but he carried on. He knew where he was going. He carried on, but then there was a fall in the river. Which wasn't on the map. And he lost his boat, and the way the river was so wide, there was a little island right in the middle. So he got stuck there. But do you know what was left? He lost everything, but there was this Bible that a missionary had given to him that floated and went with him on this little island. You see, he had met a missionary, and he thought, no, this is total nonsense what this missionary says, and I'm not going to believe it. But this missionary somehow forced this Bible on him. And so he took it. He was a polite Englishman. And so he went on this island, and he got stuck there. Nobody knew where he was. And all he had was himself and this Bible. After 2 or 3 days, the group found that actually he had not turned up. And so they went back searching for him, and they found him. And then on that day that he was found, he was saved twice. All he had was his Bible. So with his critical mind, God-rejecting mind, he began to read the Bible. He began to study it and think through what is being said there. And the Lord touched his heart. And then when these men, the colleagues came to rescue him, he spoke to them about it. And then it changed his whole life. And then he was soon to be married, and him and his wife became a missionary in South America. And isn't it wonderful how God works? He changes us, but we don't change him. He stays the same. So this morning, if you have unbelief, wouldn't it be wonderful for you to come and trust in the Lord? To lay down all the things that you have in your hand against God and say, no, but I will put all of these things and I trust in Him. I will not trust in my own mind. I will not trust in the beliefs of other people who are anti-God. And I will begin to look at this with an open mind. Do that. Our unbelief will not affect God. However much we have hatred against Him, it will not make Him not to exist. But praise God, He does change us. Well, there are a number of things I want to say. Just two matters I want to say from this text is this matter of unbelief. That, first of all, unbelief is very common. It's a common thing. I don't want to show the errors of not believing, but only to show that secret unbelief, it works in the mind of everyone, unless the Lord saves them. Even Christians this morning. Do you always trust in everything in the Bible? The times of challenges in your life and you forget about certain things. And then you need to be reminded about those things. But naturally speaking, this works in every person's heart unless God saves them. Do you have true living faith? True, genuine faith? And when we talk about faith, is that full trust in what Jesus Christ has done? Full trust that He died for our sins and God condemned Him instead of us. That full trust that He paid the debt that you and I owe to God. That sin debt. Do you have that full trust in the claims of the Bible? No, there's no doubt that most people in the world don't believe God in the way he's revealed in the scriptures. They had made their own ways of various idols of their own making. There's no doubt that many people don't believe the claims of the Bible. They don't understand fully why they are here. They don't understand fully what's the purpose of their life. There's no doubt about that. You ask somebody, why are you here? As I often do when we are talking to people, what's the purpose of your life? And oftentimes people say, I just don't know. I'm just here. It's a strange question you ask. But it's a hard question. It's a question that everyone at different times in their life, they ask, what's the purpose of my life? Am I just accidentally arrived here? What do you say? People, unbelief is common. One of the reasons is because, in general, people neglect the Word of God. That's what the Jews did. Sadly, they had an outward respect for it, but they actually neglected it. And that's why they had unbelief. They didn't trust in God. They didn't trust, they had an outward trust, but not a heartfelt trust. And so when the Messiah came, they didn't believe him. They didn't see that he was what God had said. And one of the reasons is because of our neglect. The Bible, I trust, you have it in your hand. You have it on your smartphones. You have various copies at home. It's close to us. Everyone may read it in different languages. It's read in public meetings, such as this. It's read in churches. But how few people read it for themselves? How few read it just for themselves? How few people are reading it so that they might come to know God? Not just to know information. Oh, you can go and get a degree in a university and do some sort of a Bible degree, theological degree, and your head will be filled with information. And the Jews loved it. The Pharisees loved to know about God and have their mind filled, but yet they didn't know. They were ignorant of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ challenged them and said, it's written of me. It's in the pages of the Scriptures, it's written of me, and you don't see me? Because it was neglected for themselves. And in our day, what do you read? What do you study? What goes through your eyes on a daily basis? There are people who would say, well, I don't have much time. And yet they have time for the internet. They have time for reading novels and fiction and watching things and going on Instagram and going on Facebook and watching these small clips of YouTube clips and so on. We've got time for those things. We have time for those things, but not for the infallible Word of God. Why is that? What's the reason for that? Could people be so indifferent or uncaring if they really believe that it was God's message to them personally? Would anyone show the same kind of indifference toward a will of someone who has left some sort of estate or some money in their inheritance for them? No, you would go and see, well, what was left for me? But the reason is that people don't really believe the Bible, what the Bible says. I trust you are not like that. Or maybe if you have been, this is a challenge to you this morning. This is my problem. That's why I have not believed. That's why still there is unbelief in my heart, because I'm not reading it for myself. Maybe you're a father, you're a mother, and you've been reading it for your children. You think it's a good thing for your child to know these things, and you were brought up in Sunday school and in church, and it will do them good, you think. But what about reading it just for yourself? In the quietness of your own heart, reading it. This is God's Word to me. Praise God. This is God's Word to us. Praise God. This is God has sent this for you, so that you might know Him. The Jews had the same opportunities. We have the same opportunities. But unbelief is so common because people neglect the Bible. Also, when people hear the truth of the Bible, that's another reason. It is so common. When the people hear the truth of the Bible, the response is so often negative, so often hateful. You see, that's one of the major things. We don't like what it says. That's what I find difficult. It challenges me. It demands obedience. It calls on me to turn to God. It demands on me repentance of my sin. Not just say, oh, that's wrong. Not just say, well, I know I've done these things wrong, and I'm not a good father, I'm not a good dad, I'm not a good husband, and this and that and the other, and we can identify a variety of things, our failings. And it's not just about that recognition of it. It's about when the Bible challenges us, it calls us to repentance. It calls us not just the recognition of sin, but the rejection of sin and a turning away from it and a hatred towards it and sorrow over the fact that we have through this, we have offended God, our Maker. It's like a parent has made food for the children and they just are indifferent to it. How sad it is. How upsetting that will be for parents, and in far, far incredibly greater way toward the God who gives you your beating heart. He gives you your breath. He gives you your health and all those things that you have. But the fact that we find the truth of the Bible goes against our grain, then it is we respond in a negative way. We put barriers up, and when someone talks to you, just your eyes glazes over and shutters come down and you're not really listening. Is that you? Well, certainly that has been me. What's your response then to the Word of God? Another reason for it being so common is that people's expectation is in different way and is in direct opposition to the Bible. So here, the Apostle Paul is challenging, and he says, look, the issue with the Jews that they did not believe is that they did not have the expectation. Their expectation of the Messiah was totally different to what God actually said. They wanted a king to rule over them. They wanted someone who would come and wipe out the Roman Empire. And my friends, it was done. But how? Not through the sword, but through the gospel. That's why the apostles went, not forcing people, but by the power of the Spirit of God. As they preached, they said, these men have come and they're turning the world upside down. How did that happen? Because people were being converted. Their whole mindset was being converted. They're being renewed. And my friend, this is why we have, in Western society, we have a culture that has been based upon biblical principles. Sadly, it is all being forgotten and wiped off. But this is why. It's the gospel came and it challenged people. People opposed it. Many people died. There are many martyrs in the world. People sought to burn the Bibles and destroy the Bibles. But Christians kept loving it. Christians kept copying it. And it was handed from church to church. And the church never died. What about you? Do you expect... Does your expectation runs against what the Bible tells you? You're maybe disappointed. And you really know that if you follow this, it will go against everything that you have said or you've done before. It requires quite a lot of humility. So what direction are you going this morning? I was watching three men walk some time ago, and I saw this one dog following them. One of them owned the dog. I didn't know who owned the dog. But they came to a part of the road that they were saying goodbyes to each other, and they all three separated. And the dog followed just one of them. In our life, my friend, you are walking with so many people. You are going down a certain path. And outwardly, maybe, your life may not look that different to others. You're going to do the same work. You're seeking to do your best in those things. But when it comes to matters of faith and in matters of eternity, spiritual things, who do you then follow? Is God your master? Have you come to know and realize truly that who the Lord Jesus Christ is? We were singing about Him being our friend. Is He your friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. If a person has a true faith, saving faith, who is his master? Would they live differently to what they say they believe about the Lord? So what's your expectation about the Christian gospel? What's your expectation of God? What do you expect of God? Are you disappointed? Are you disappointed it goes against your grain? But another thing is this, that people don't believe because they are not much influenced by what they say they believe. Oh, I believe, they say. But then, what does that faith achieve? Do they love God? Do they fear God? Do they trust God? Do they regard Him? What is God in their life? Are they seeking the Lord? No, but they say they believe in God, but they really don't have a guide. They are making decisions in life, but really they are not thinking, what is God's will in my life? They're like a lost person with a little bit of a religion. Is that you, maybe? That, yes, you come to church, and children, that could apply to you. You come, and, well, you have to come. But you think, well, I'm going to do this. I want to do this for my life. Do you pray about these things? Do you seek the Lord about these things? Friends, don't hazard your eternal welfare on presuming things. Make sure that you know the Lord and your trust and faith is solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. That you have dealt with the issue of sin. That you brought your sin before God and called upon Him for His mercy upon you. That's all you can do. You can't forgive yourself. God must forgive you. And on what basis? On the basis of your good works? You have none. On the basis of being charitable to other people and love people? No, none of that. Our sin must be dealt with at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to realize Jesus Christ died for sinners like us. And you must repent of sin, trust in Him. And then it is your turn from unbelief to belief. You turn from a person who has no understanding of these things and no guide to have a good shepherd and a living faith. I don't want you to simply say, oh, I believe in God. I don't want you to say, well, these things, yes, I believe this, I believe that, and believe that. No, but for it to be full within your heart, bubbling over, for you to be filled with the joy of the Lord, for you to be truly that blessed man the Scripture talks about, a person who says, I know everything else could be stripped away from me, but if I have the Lord, that's all that matters. Is that you? You've come to be basking in the love of the Savior. But then you think that this unbelief, that how foolish it is, how wrong it is. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? If you were to believe that there are people, or there were no person in that occupied house, and you keep saying, well, I don't believe that there's anybody living there. Does your unbelief in that going to change anything? To not believe the Word of God it is foolish. It is not realistic. It is not true. And it is the most dangerous thing that one can do. Think about it. Unbelief is not going to cancel out the truth of God. When Satan came and said to our first parents, he shall not surely die, and they believed what Satan said rather than God's word, what happened? Did their unbelief change what God said? Did it make God's warning less certain? Did not God do what He said He would do? Didn't their soul die? And were not Adam and Eve separated from God? Of course they were. When the unbelieving Jews rejected their Messiah, did that affect what God had planned? No, not at all. God's plan did not change course at all. It achieved, and it continues to achieve, what He has always said. So, isn't it foolish to say, well, I'm not going to believe these things. I won't investigate these things. I'll just carry on, just going, doing things Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Just go through my weeks. Have certain things planned and pleasures of life, and I just want to be like other people. Is that going to change anything? Other than maybe hardening your heart? Other than for you to stumble into from this ditch into that ditch? It's a dangerous situation unbelievers are in, because this is something that the Scripture says. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We think we know everything. We think that we don't need anybody to tell us something. And yet the Bible tells us actually we are under the control of someone else. We are actually doing the biddings of another. It says, it is Satan who has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But my friends, there is so much in the Lord Jesus Christ that all the things that Satan may do, all the unbelief and all the things that he does to blind us, yet the Lord Jesus Christ has come as the light of the world. His message is the one that brings us life, and the preaching of the gospel through it, as you come to believe it, trust in it, it opens your eyes, it gives you a new heart, it cleanses your account before God, which is a bad account. It does all of those things that you can't achieve, you can't do, nobody else can do for you. A man came to me and said, recently in the open air, he said, can you pray for me? I can pray for him, and I did. But I said, but I can't do anything for you. You must seek the Lord. You must, is this something between you and God? You must turn to Him yourself. No amount of me praying is going to change that in one sense. Friends, this morning, you've heard, I'm sure many of you have heard these things many, many times in your life. For some of us, these things maybe just, well, this is the part of the service the preacher will preach. And you might, as a young girl, well, she's not a young girl now, but she told me one time, do you know what I used to do? I've said this before, I think. I used to just count all of the hymn numbers. I just wait for the sermon to be over. That's all I was thinking about. Just, I would ignore everything else. Until the Lord really arrested her and dealt with her. And you might go through that. And you don't really appreciate these things, maybe. You're like me, who, when we were on a ferry from Northern Ireland to England, you don't really appreciate all these lifeboats. They're all covered up in white, and you try to ignore it, and you think, well, these are big, bulky things. But do you know, if that boat, if that ferry had an accident, if there was an explosion on that ferry, and it began to sink, do you know the first thing I would do is to get to the lifeboat? And get others into the lifeboat. That, then the lifeboats would become real to me. It would not be just a hindrance. It would be something that I would believe with all my heart. I must get into it. It's a lifeboat. Without it, I would be drowned. You see, the situation changes everything. Our perspective on things changes everything. At the moment, this morning, you might think, well, I don't really see these things that are so important for me. But the way you look at it, the way you come to realize yourself, it makes the difference. Who are you before God? What's your life about? How are you leading your life? Are you just like a boat that's just going along down the river? Wherever it leads, you're going as well. Whatever will be. You might be saying, and yet the truth of the gospel is it doesn't have to be like that. You can have someone in your life who not only saves you forever, but in this life, you'll have a guide. You have someone that you can pray to, and he answers prayer. This is the amazing thing, I think. So many people don't appreciate. They think this woman came to me in the open air 2 weeks ago and said, "Oh, this is just a fairy tale you believe in." And I thought to myself, is the fairy tale all these hundreds and hundreds of prayers? I could have never thought they would come to pass. And yet God has answered. And the way the Bible speaks to me, the way my life has been transformed and changed, these are not something just I've been brainwashed about these things. No, it has been God's doing. Not my doing. I could have not done anything in my life. And it's still to this day. What can we do? But God can do all things. With God, all things are possible. At this moment in time, you think to yourself, well, I've tried this and that. And you feel cold in your soul. Turn to God again. You might say this morning, I've thought about these things. I've sought these things before. Nothing has happened. Are you expecting God to do things in your own time? In your plan? You can't do that. You can't dictate to God. He's the Almighty. But you approach Him today again and call upon His name again. Seek Him with all your heart and praise God. In His time you will find Him. May this be true of you this morning. Praise God that He is real. Praise God He's not a figment of our imagination. Praise God that everything now the Christian sees the handiwork of God. And so here was the Apostle Paul who says, is this unbelief going to make any change in God? No. So he's saying, so then turn to Him. So then believe Him. And may God then bless these things to us. Let us bow in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thee that throughout history Thou hast worked a great work. And Thou art working today. Thou art working in hearts. And we trust that Thou art working in hearts in this congregation. We thank Thee, Lord, for what Thou art doing in Muslim countries. Thou art saving souls from unbelief in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and transforming those lives from dead religion to faith in the Savior. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Jesus Christ's words are coming to pass without the use of sword or guns, but by the power of Thy Spirit. Lord, work in us too. Do not pass us by, we pray. Do not pass by the men and women here, the children here. Lord, transform lives amongst us, we pray. And Lord, we shall give Thee all the glory. And we praise Thee for Christ and His salvation. And we ask these things then in His name. Amen.